We live in a world of double standards. One law for them and one law for we. They say what is legal and what is a crime. They say what is war and what is terrorism. They say what they want to say to justify their own actions. Who are the terrorists? And who are the heroes? Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Double standards. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Double standards. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Double standards. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Now when Adolf Hitler tried to conquer the world with his evil regime, anybody who fought against him was classed as a hero. They fought fire with fire. But for many, many years there's been a regime every bit as evil as that of Adolf Hitler. But if you fight against the apartheid system in South Africa, you are a terrorist. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Double standards. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Double standards. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Double standards. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Imagine that aliens from outer space came to conquer the human race, came to control all the world's wealth and take the best parts of the world for themselves. Suppose they said, fear not peoples of earth, we are here to help you. Give us everything of any worth and we will not harm you. You have gold mines, or should I say used to have, now they're mine. But you can work in the golden grind. For an 80-hour week, we'll give you about £2 a time. Oh yes, another thing, you must all carry a pass, just so none of you get lost. Certain boundaries you must not cross, or our police will bust your ass. Sound familiar? People of the world would fight for their liberty, even if it took centuries. And when the oppressor was forced to go, the people who fought against him would be classed as heroes, and quite rightly so. So why are the people who fight against the oppressors in South Africa classed as terrorists? To me, they are heroes. Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Who are the terrorists? Come tell me, who are the heroes? Double standards, who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Come tell me, who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Fighting in Namibia, the media says this is a clash between South African troops and SWAPO guerrillas. Troops against guerrillas. I would say it is a clash between the South African terrorists and SWAPO freedom fighters. Yeah, sounds more like the truth. Botha and his henchmen call the ANC terrorists. That's worse than the pot calling the kettle black. The apartheid system is an act of terrorism itself. It is evil, 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 evil. Killing of the children in Soweto was an act of terrorism. Locking Mandela in a prison so long is an act of terrorism. Indefinite detention is an act of terrorism. Invasion of people's homeland is an act of terrorism. So tell me, who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Who are the terrorists? Who are the heroes? Who are the terrorists? I know. Do you?
Yeah, that was Maccabee. The Blue Bits. Blue Bits are the oceans. Last year, Ningaloo Reef, which is a Western Australian campaign, is the first time Wilderness Society has realised that the Blue Bits are just as important as the Green Bits. Just as important. The life came from the Blue Bits, and Greenpeace had a really good just saying, and just remember that every second breath you breathe is from the ocean. And that's pretty onto it, because it is a whole ecosystem. The trawling that takes place at the moment has been likened to clear felling forests, which it really is. They get these huge nets, kilometres long, with huge concrete blocks on the bottom of them. And they drag them along the bottom of the ocean, just destroying, not just catching the fish, but destroying the ecosystem that makes the fish as well. So it is this heat-like clear felling. And the problem, the huge problem with it, with the argument about the marine stuff, is that the government comes in and they make solutions that they say, like, for example, one of the solutions that the government implemented was to make nets that had a larger size hole gap in them, so that the little fish could get through. And that was cool, like, that sounds like a solution, but upon implementation, the nets had to be pulled along the water quicker in order to catch fish, and doing this, it meant that the little fish, while they didn't get caught in the net, they did get ripped to shreds by the net as it was dragged through the water towards them. So, the foundation of it all is research. The government doesn't do enough, doesn't inject enough money into research. I think they're wising up to this now, with this whole marine park strategy. But the research is still needed there. Just a few statistics on the Blue Bits. Australians consume 206,000 tons of seafood every year. That's a lot. When you consider none of these, the fish farming is worse for the environment than taking it from the ocean. Why? Because of the sediment that they create, the amount of food and stuff that they have to put in there, it goes downstream and it pollutes the water. It's just too intensive. What else? At the moment, the Indonesian government, which I have a source of contention with as well. I guess I have a source of contention with everything, but the Indonesian government is, there's a lot of pirate fishermen blamed for the depleting stocks around Australia. But the problem is that these Indonesian fishermen, while they are in part responsible, it's kind of like pointing the finger at the fisherman next to you, because these people, when they get busted, they get a really hard thing happen to them, because usually the boats they're in, they don't own the boats, they're renting them from someone over there. So they get busted by the Australian government. The Australian government sends them, like, takes their boat and then sends them back to their country. So instead of, coming up with a solution, all they've done is compounded the problem, because now these fishermen have to go home and face up to someone who they owe a boat to, and they've got no source of income. And that's not reasonable, because you've got Australian trawlers out there with kilometres-long drift nets. The thing that I was reading was talking about how these people, they're getting a little bit more high-tech. They've got GPS sounders, things like that. Nothing compared to the technology that Australia's using. But the sad things about it, they use dolphins as bait. It's not being confirmed, but it looks that way. The Australian government has funded $300,000. The Indonesian government wants to help out too. And there's this new concerted effort to do something about the pirate fishing up north. I just wish that they'd also do something about the pirate fishing happening right here. Yeah. Back to the blue bets. What you can do. And gosh, it's hard because I always feel like I'm preaching to the converted whenever I'm on this. I'm on NIMFM, you know. If there's going to be somewhere around the country that's active, this is the place, yeah? So I'm just, what to do? I try and think up things that you know that are a bit different, just so that you can, there's you know, more info. But no to deep sea perch, it's endangered. No to orange ruffy, it's endangered. A really cool thing is to ask your supplier, like when you're going to go and buy fish, don't just take the fish and go, yeah, thanks fish, that's what I want. Say to the people you're buying it off, where did this fish come from? You know, because even if they don't have to be mean, but even if they don't know, you've opened up the issue to them, so that maybe, you know, later they'll go, well, like, where did it come from? And I mean, every single thing that is wrong with the world is consumer driven. You know, it's all consumer driven. So yeah, they're the things that we do. Open our mouths is a big one. Educate yourself and then disseminate the information. Find out what's going on and then talk to people about it. Like Greenpeace has got a very cool site at the moment. They're for the blue bits again, they're traveling around the world in a year. They're going from South Africa to Europe. This is a rainbow warrior, and from the Americas to the Antarctic, and their aim is to get 1 million ocean defenders by the end of the expedition. Now the idea of an ocean defender, this is the tricky bit, because it is so difficult. All you do is you get on the net and you sign up and you say, yeah, I want to be an ocean defender. Give their email, give them your email, and they'll send you stuff. You can even sign up for your local area and send you information via email about the expedition, how it's coming along, and also stuff on in your local area. And that's really what it's all about, is you read up on this stuff and you know, and then nobody's ignorant, you know, because I've been actually, that's interesting, the word ignorant. There's a difference between innocence and ignorance. Ignorance is ignoring the problem.
Because the pressure You have to fight ya, not one another. You must unite ya. In times like this, you must let go. So blow trombone, blow.
Something I bring up every week, and I'm going to keep bringing it up every week until it's something that everybody knows about, and it's the climate refugees, people that have been displaced from where they live because of climate change. And the irony behind it all is the climate change that is happening to them right now as we speak, as their crops fill up with salt water, and as their homes, you know, every spring tide get bit, you know, more and more washed out. The reason that this is happening to them is because of us. It's because of this society and its continued dependence on fossil fuels and its continued willingness to embrace an economics global system that suppresses 80% of its inhabitants. I mean, this is peace badly won if it was won on the backs of so many suffering people.
herbs are a natural way of life. If you have an interest in herbal history, herbal cultivation, or the effects of herbs upon your health, listen in to herbalist Tony Stallone on Health Beats, Monday mornings between 10 and 11 a.m. Health Beats on NIM FM, of course.
Hi, it's Martin from scan.org. Just let you know, we have changed the time from 10 a.m. Sundays to 11 a.m. Sundays. So it's 1 hour only, and it will be 1 hour grassroots radio zone from around Australia and local news, hopefully, current affairs, stories, you know. So, Sunday, 11 a.m., don't forget, it'll be 1 hour longer you can sleep in with scan.org. Ah.
Yeah, Tassie's Forest in the Tamar Valley in Launceston, they're talking about putting a pulp mill in. Nobody's really opposed to a pulp mill because at the moment there's already something like 270,000 hectares of plantation down there. But what people are opposed to, and I guess it's everybody's individual, you might be opposed to a pulp mill, I don't know. I'm taking the Wilderness Society stance when I'm saying this. They're saying that a pulp mill wouldn't be bad because the plantations are already there. As long as the pulp mill is plantation-based, and there's no chlorine bleaching used. So the reason that the chlorine bleaching is used is because there's a lot of tannins in native forests, and so they've got to use chlorine. Well, they don't have to. There's other ways. Instead of no chlorine bleaching and a plantain-based pulp mill, what Guns Limited, this is the same Guns Limited that is suing people for their involvement in trying to stop them from and successfully stopping them from destroying the forest. They're proposing that they have 30-year access to the native forest for the wood chipping for the pulp mill. They're proposing to feed their wood fired. They're going to have it powered by wood fire generator. They want to put 500,000 tons of forest per year into making power. They've got a Basslink cable. They sell energy to the mainland, and yet here they are making more energy. You know, it's ridiculous. But that's not the worst of it, man. They've got the water, which is all important at the moment as we look at climate change happening. 26 billion litres a year. That's half of Tassie's total household water consumption. That's how much they want to use each year to run their pulp mill. With us in the studio today is Jay. He's been down to Tassie. He's had a look around. He's here today. He was down there with me when Guns 20 was announced, and that was pretty funny. Like I said last week, the local newspaper had a picture of a Clearfell with a possum sitting on a tree trunk, and the actual thing that was said was, because Guns 20 was suing for damages, and this possum's holding a newspaper, and on the front it's got Guns 20 sues at Guns sues, and then the possum's got the thought bubble there suing for damages. It's just pretty what it's like down there. It's disgusting. There's nothing. They just destroy. They take pride in the idea of having a moonscape down there, which... Have you seen the moonscape?
Well, I mean, the problem with the pulp mill, as we see it, is that, you know, they're guaranteeing that old forests and, like, specialty timbers that should be used for cabinet makers is ending up being the pulps and wasted. I mean, if they are going to chop down trees, at least use the timber. And, you know, cabinet makers are having, you know, boat builders.
Yeah.
People are having a hard time trying to find the specialty timbers.
Yeah.
And yet that's all getting chipped and
there used to be
wasted.
Like 300 odd local sawmills down there. Now there's less than 30.
There's two main companies down there. There's Guns, and up in the Tarkine there's the Dodgy Brothers. Dodgy Bastards called. I'm actually going to get this so they're not suing me. So.
Yeah, well, this is not representative of what NIM FM thinks. This is, this is individual opinion.
I believe they're bastards.
Or 30 billion litres of toxic effluent because of the chlorine bleaching. It's going to be pumped into Bass Strait each year. Just linking that back to the blue bits, that's a really great way to begin, great way to begin the saving of the blue bits, yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, what's sad is, you know, we're not talking about timber being taken away from, you know, chopping down and using the timber. It's about land, like, being cleared, and guaranteeing plantation there. So they're like clearing biodiverse forest. Like, they can't use the timber that's there. They feed into a chipper just to clear it as quick as they can.
Perfect.
And once that land's been converted to plantation, it can never come back to being forest.
Oh, it can, but not once they bomb it with napalm-like substance.
Yeah,
and
once it's been refilled.
And use 1080 poison to destroy every little
skerrick
of ecosystem.
They are actually stopping using 1080 in Tasmania.
Oh, they've been saying that for years,
no,
man.
No,
they've been
got a deadline,
it was, I don't care.
Well,
when
January,
they stop it,
January.
I'll believe them. Yeah, when
like
they stop
actually,
it, I'll believe them, because they've been saying that for at least the last 18 months. It's always stopping July, we're stopping December. It's not
the giant
when they stop
Tasmanian
it,
devil might start turning up back in Tasmania and causing mischief again if they don't stop it.
Yeah.
There's,
talking of what's happening in Tassie, there was just a rally down there on the pulp mill. Tracy Maluga, the local Aboriginal representative, welcomed everybody. They were talking about a few different... Trudy Maluga, I'm sorry, welcomed the crowd and pointed out the lack of community consultation with the Indigenous people. Like, nobody's asked any Indigenous person about the pulp mill. You know, this is their land, and here it is again and again. They just get walked on top of too for corporate needs. Leslie Nicholson, Blue Tears community campaigner, he brought up the Blue Tears is getting trashed down there. Forestry Taz has got their grip on it, and they destroy it bit by bit every year. There's a group down there.
Massive clear fills.
Yeah. But there was a group down there that organised a walk, and it was massively successful, actually. They had heaps of support for it. The 8-day walking track has now been dismissed by Forestry Taz as unviable, and I know why. It's because of walking past Clearfields.
Yeah, basically
of
some environmentalists organised a walk and started getting people into the forest. Forestry Taz didn't like the fact that these people were educating people and showing them what was going on, and they couldn't not see the Clearfields. Forestry Taz has now declared it, using OH&S law, an unsafe track. We sent out some people to inspect it. Basically, there's no laws for forest tracks in Tasmania.
Yeah.
Like, we've sussed out all the national laws. There's actually, they can't declare a bush track as being unsafe unless it's got structures in there that, like bridges that have been man-made.
No, it's unviable. That's when we were down in Tassie, they're trying to shut it down because it was unsafe.
Unsafe,
but now Forestry Taz is saying it's unviable.
Unviable?
Yeah, economically unviable.
But it didn't cost them anything. They didn't pay for the building of the track being done.
Yeah,
it was done by environmentalists, and then the environmentalists were told they weren't allowed to use it.
I think they're back onto the OH&S thing where they're saying it's unviable because they've got to keep going in and making it safe for everybody.
So unfortunately, Forestry Taz, like a lot of the stuff that it does, is done to gloss itself up. Like they've got an air walk where you get to walk in amongst the canopy, and they had lower the Tahoon.
Yeah, the Tahoon. Right? Yeah,
they had to lower.
Yeah.
The airwalk, because it was too high, and you could see all these patches of clearfield. So then they're like, "Oh, we can't be that high up in the canopy. We have to be a little bit lower, otherwise you see what's really going on."
Yeah, it's pathetic. Well, it was down there. A couple of the tourist routes got changed. It's like this used to be a tourist route, but that's right. And another thing on the way to that Tahoon airwalk, there's this great big clearfell. It's got. Do you remember it? It's got trunks that have been chainsawed through. It's this like patch of devastation that's just cut out of the forest. There's trees growing on one side, trees growing on the other. This just devastated land. And then a great big sign put there, courtesy Forestry Taz. What did it say?
Severe wind damage.
What a wind, man. I wouldn't want to be walking in that forest.
The bits on either side were fine, and it was a perfect, patch through there.
Yeah.
But they've got all these, signs like, shh, quiet, trees growing.
Yeah, and like, animals dying.
Yeah.
1080 poison.
It's so funny. They go and, try and sort of gloss up their clear fells.
Yeah. I also heard that tiger trails as well.
Been closed down.
Well, they weren't closed down. They were just informed that once these guys who trekked through there found a good walking trail, advertised it with the help of Wilderness Society, but they advertised it, got it off the ground, made it a viable economic industry,
very viable,
and now they've been told that when it comes up for tender again, it's going to go to the highest bidder, and Forestry Taz has already put in a bid.
Yeah, also they advised them that they would not be the successful ones because they're environmentalists and because they were educated as well.
Yeah.
So it's the same sort of deal.
Yeah. So what's coming to the world?
Yeah, these people have spent 3 years like setting up this business and setting up this trek, and it's become famous and people, you know, going there. And now that it's become very viable, yeah, Forestry Taz has gone, no, we own it. So,
But, yeah, but like I said, there was a rally there on the 3rd. 2,500 people turned up, and that's pretty good. That was to stop the pulp mill, which is in Tamar Valley, which is near Launceston. One of the big problems of the... If they moved the pulp mill, if they moved it to where there are plantations rather than right on the edge of some remnant rainforest...
They moved it to a spot where there's all vineyards. And they actually bought up all the vineyards in the area and closed down the vineyards. Effectively, because they knew they were going to pollute the river and the vineyards wouldn't survive. And they knew one of their main oppositions would be all the vineyards.
Yeah,
so they first of all invested in vineyards. And people are going, oh, Guns is now investing in vineyards. That's a bit weird.
Yeah,
and then, they announced their pulp mill in that area. So.
Yeah, and that place has already got a smog problem. Anyway, back to the music. Of Australia's electricity is produced from coal. Thank you.
Then call it CFC, gas just fish out. You find it in a solvent and near a soil can. In a air conditioning and refrigeration. No, CFC gas up, build up all around. And it seems like the gas eats out the ozone. It makes thousands of tons of heat in England alone. And it seems like the oil are just growing and growing. Cause sunlight getting stronger. And the world's gonna get warmer and warmer. Europe a threat, also America. Cause the white people, then we get skin cancer. There's a hole in the atmosphere. So the scientists say, so the scientists say. Getting hotter and hotter and hotter every day. So the scientists say, so the scientists say. What me say? Skin cancer, no bother me. Look for me skin now with black and healthy. Me and sunshine, we agree. Black people go with sunlight, bees we don't need. Skin cancer, that of a white man. Then get it when they stop out in the sun too long. Skin burn up, but them a look a suntan. We just cool, we have a natural one. There's a hole in the atmosphere. So the scientists say, so the scientists say. Getting hotter and hotter and hotter every day. So the scientists say, so the scientists say. Cool. CFC gas a man invented. Europe and America produce most a hit. Use some a hit. Export some a hit to the developing countries on the planet. Now them a said that them have to ban it. All the effects on the world could be catastrophic. For the poor countries who make a little bit. A ban would a lick those countries pocket. The western world man them have the knowledge. And the money for look for an alternative. But for the poor third world where so much people live. Something like that would be too expensive. America, Europe, them would a do more business. Sell off the old aerosol and the old fridge. Undercover, send them to Africa. And blame them for the oil in the ozone layer. So rich countries, I want you to listen to me. Are you causing a problem with your technology? So are you fi put it right, not the poor country? Cause the white people will get the most misery. There won't be a lot of white people around. When the strong sunlight start come down. Oh, brown turn black and oh, white turn brown. If you want to stay white, you have to stay at home. There's a hole in the atmosphere.
Christmas Island, which is in the Indian Ocean. There are, well, it's got a bit of a history. There's been mining there, phosphate mining, for the last 100 years. For the last 15 years of that, it's been recovery phosphate mining, so going over the same land that's already been used, getting out any of the phosphate that's been left there, using newer technologies. They've been told time and time again that the mining can continue, but as long as there is no more forest cut down. At the moment, they're called Phosphate Resources Limited. It's a group that's taken over from the governmental mining company that was there. They want to clear 200 hectares. They want to extend. They've asked for 8 more leases. And more lease holdings. At the moment, they've got 2,000 hectares, right? They control 2,000 hectares of Christmas Island. It's all area that's been mashed before. And like I said, they're scavenging over it now for anything they missed. But, yeah, so 8 new lease holdings they've asked for. This 250 hectares all up. 200 hectares of that is pristine virgin rainforest that they want to cut down. It's disastrous. I don't think they'll get away with it because the government was pretty adamant on not having any more rainforest cut down. But just the stupidity of it anyway. I mean, like, the Phosphate Resources Limited, the company itself, they've said at the moment they've got 3 to 5 years more of mining. 3 to 5 years, okay? So they understand that their company, their mining business, is coming to an end. However, If they do destroy this 200 hectares of rainforest, which I have no doubt is millions of years old, they'll have 5 to 7 years of business left. So, yeah, all for the sake of maybe 2 more years, they're going to destroy something that isn't theirs. We borrow this all from our children. Yeah.
The London Museum is a community-minded sponsor of NIM FM. In the museum, you can trace the history of Nimbin from the early days through the Aquarius Festival to the rise of the alternate culture. The Nimbin Museum is a great place to take your visitors. They'll be fascinated by the bizarre array of exhibits, but don't expect them to come out in a hurry. There's just so much to see.
A daily serving of fruit and vegetables is recommended for a healthy diet. That's why Bunt Fruits goes to the markets twice a week to provide Nimbin with the best produce. For your pleasure, Bunt Fruits offers freshly squeezed juices such as wheatgrass and thick, yummy smoothies. Looking for beautiful fruit and vegetables? Head straight to Bunt Fruits on Cullen Street, next door to the NRMA. Need to know more? Phone Phil and Lulu on 66890400. Bunt Fruits, fresh sponsors of Nim FM.
If they want to win the revolution, they might win it with Rasta. It can't win no other way. Because if you win out of way, you have to fight again. When you Rasta win, there's no more war.
Yeah.
Apologies. I'll just try and work it out. I was actually trying to work out, right, what am I going to be saying next? And then I stuffed it all up and turned it off. So, yeah, sorry about that, everyone. This one instead.
Here now is a special item of news from the JBC Newsroom. Entertainer and reggae star Bob Marley was a now patient in the University Hospital after receiving gunshot wounds during a shooting incident which took place at Marley's home at 56 Hope Road tonight.
In the community, you're going to have a problem, like you're going to have prison.
Trouble in the world.
coming up, the Nimbinbush Theatre, New Year's Eve. There's a that's where the party is happening. So that's New Year's Eve, Nimbinbush Theatre. The Environment Centre at the moment has a Christmas raffle. This raffle has been put together out of merchandise from the stock, from the shop. It's, gosh, I can't even remember how much the tickets are. I think it's $3 for $2 or $1 each. What this is for is to start, it's basically is to include everybody in the process of getting active and being empowered. And so the money from the raffle will buy paint and it will buy material, and they will be used on a day in the future for a banner making day. Which we hopefully we will be getting the kids involved from the local school to make some banners. I've seen some really pretty banners down south that go that have little tiny footprints all over them, and the banner says, "Please leave some for us." It's very pretty. Yeah, so the idea is to let any kind of energy that you put into something is effective, and this way it might only be banner making. Like sometimes I get really shirty because it's like, oh, everything is going wrong in the world, you know, everything, you know, they're taking all of our stuff as well as all of their stuff, and what do? We paint a banner, you know, but that's okay because it's facing their creation, their destruction with our creation. So it doesn't really matter that it is only painting a banner. It's the idea of putting your energy into doing something. It might be a losing battle, but at least we're still fighting, kind of thing. Next week, the terrorism... Well, first of all...